Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to Connecting Faith, and happy Monday to you. Welcome to the wonderful month of May, one of my favorite months, Ted. This is a good car care month, among other things. We're not going to talk about that,
right,
though. It is always nice to clean your car until it rains, and then you get to do it again. We do want to talk about, if you have some travel plans, how about taking a trip through the 66 books of the Bible? We're giving away during this month the Route 66 Study Bible. Giving one away each week. David Jeremiah's Route 66 Study Bible is a complete reference Bible designed to enhance your personal study and devotional times, give you easy access to answers when you have questions about scripture passages, and you can sign up at myfaithradio.com to win that. And that's a great resource. It'd be a nice gift, too, if maybe you have a graduate or something just out soon. So sign up for that online, myfaithradio.com, the Route 66 Study Bible. Doing that giveaway each week. You ready to talk nutrition and health?
Yeah, I need to. I need to do some shoring up in that area, I think.
Okay.
So I'll be taking notes.
Well, we're going to look for ways that we could add 10 healthy years to your life. Would you be open to that?
Certainly. Absolutely. Okay. Life is good.
Yeah, it is. Well, let's find out, because we're really excited to welcome back, America's personal health humorist, which, sometimes maybe we think about health. It feels a little, heavy. We'll talk about real issues, but we'll have a good time today. America's personal health improvement expert, David Mainz, is with us today. He speaks internationally to audiences about living life to the fullest with maximum energy and health. And he's authored a number of books, including 10 Bonus Years, How You Can Add 10 Healthy Years to Your Life. That's available on his website. In fact, only available on his website, davidmeinz.com. It's MEINZ.com. I want to give that to you several times throughout the show. But David specializes in consultations and workshops that enable people to improve their health. And he has a master's degree in human nutrition, is a registered dietitian, is a fellow in the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. He's also a certified speaking professional. And he has been on broadcast with us in the past. And, of course, years ago, regularly on Focus on the Family and other programs. And so we're just always grateful when David can find a little time to join us. So, David, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Hey, Neil. Thanks for having me.
We were just talking a little bit before the show that actually my wife and I went out and did a couple of walks this weekend, because in the upper Midwest, the weather is finally starting to turn a little bit. And we can only actually work out about, 4 months out of the year if we actually want to be outside. Unless we want to wear heavy clothes, I guess that's the other thing.
Well, and I think that's an important point, because your body needs physical activity 12 months out of the year, not 4 months out of the year. And so for those of you that live north and refuse to do what I did, which was move to Florida, then you guys have to plan for something inside. And exercise inside is just as good as exercise outside. But you know what? It takes more planning on your part.
You're right. Well, I want to talk the exercise industry, the fitness industry, food and nutrition industry. I mean, they spend millions of dollars sort of trying to educate us or persuade us to change our behavior. Is it really that complicated?
Well, there's a lot of details to good health, especially when it comes to nutrition. It's not that complicated, though. I tend to tell people this these days. If you eat food closer to the way it grows, you can't hardly go wrong. And secondly, these days, is that you need to eat a more plant-based diet, less animal products. If you look at most of the world that has long-lived populations, healthy populations, they eat less animal products than we Americans do. You know, we're so blessed. What we do in this country is we grow plants, but we don't eat the plants. We feed those to animals, and then we eat the animals. And that's inefficient on many levels, environmentally, economically, health-wise. You don't have to be a vegetarian to be healthy, but it would be good if Americans would eat more fruits and vegetables and whole grains, a little bit less animal products. So eat food closer to the way it grows, eat more plant-based products, and as we mentioned, it's not all nutrition. You absolutely must have physical activity in your lifestyle. That's why God put your legs close to the ground.
It's that kind of wisdom that we'll enjoy all hour. Do want to open up the phone lines, too, and give you an opportunity to join in. If you have a question or a thought, you can join in the conversation at 877-933-2484. It's 877-93-FAITH, or you can submit something via email as well. If you go to myfaithradio.com, you can click on our Connecting Faith show page and use the email link there. You know, you mentioned a plant-based diet. One of the things I know you address in the book, what's come to be known, I guess, as eating vegan, is that a good thing over long term? Does the label sort of maybe hold some people off?
Yeah, you know what a vegan is, don't you, Neil? That's a vegetarian with an attitude.
Okay.
So, and I know a lot of vegan people, and they're nice people, and I think they're on the right track because, again. We can save our health to a large degree and save a lot of money along the way if we will eat less animal products and eat more plant products. Vegan is completely all the way over. That is to say, they don't eat any animal products. Vegetarian is a step back from that, and vegetarians often will eat a plant-based product diet, but also they'll eat eggs and cheese. So that makes that diet a little bit more easy to attain, I think, vegetarian for a lot of Americans who are meat and potato eaters. So, you know, that's one step, and then vegan is the most complete step. I'll tell you what, it takes a lot of time, takes some work to eat that way, but you know what? You get those years back in health for the years you spend in the kitchen. Mm. So I think it's a fair trade-off.
Well, in fact, let's talk about that. Your latest book, 10 Bonus Years, How You Can Add 10 Healthy Years to Your Life. I mean, is that really true? Could you add, I mean, you could actually add years to your life just by changing the way you ate and in activity?
Right. And as you saw in the book, Neil, it's not just about what we call general health issues like exercise and nutrition. There's a lot of other surprising things in there, like purpose in life and optimism and family and friends and a spiritual dimension to your life. All of these things a lot of people don't think about also contribute to those 10 bonus years. But yes, the research is pretty clear that most of us have the genetic potential to live into our late 80s or early 90s. That is, if we would leave things alone and optimize our health, most of us could probably make it to 90, early 90s. But because of the things we do wrong, most of us take about 10 years off of our potential. What the book is about is let's give our bodies the opportunity to maximize the potential we already have.
Well, you mentioned just some of those things that, you know, we can't really sort of measure them very well. It's not like counting calories to talk about purpose in life or being engaged with friends or reducing stress. How much of an impact does that have maybe over just the kind of food we eat?
Well, I think it's all part of it. I'm not sure any research has actually documented what percentage is contributed by purpose in life or optimism or these other things compared to nutrition and so forth. But we certainly have a lot of data on the importance of nutrition, which is one of the reasons that's why I majored in that, and that's what I do for a living, and physical activity as well. But that doesn't take away from the importance of those other ones just because maybe we don't have an exact way of measuring them. I'm going to put them, you know, there's 10 steps. They're in my book, and we can go through them quickly if you want to.
Sure,
but
let's do it.
I'm not going to say any of them are more particularly important than the other ones. I think all 10 make up the formula for 10 bonus years.
Well, let's just review them, and then we can dive in a little deeper here after the break.
So the first one is have a reason to get up in the morning. Engagement is what it's often referred to. This is important, especially for men, Neil, because as you know, men are their jobs a lot of times. That is where we get our identity from. And then since that's true, retirement is a dangerous time for a man health-wise because we're learning more and more of the impact of the mind on physical health. And, you know, I think everybody listening will know you can talk yourself into getting sick. I mean, people can do that. That's the mind over the body. Well, we know, too, that if a man has a certain career his whole life and then he chooses to retire or he has to retire and he's 65 or something like that, and all of a sudden he doesn't know why he gets up in the morning. You see, women have it better because not only do they have careers today, but they often get their identities from the relationships they have in their life. If you ask a woman to tell you about herself, she'll say she's somebody's mom, somebody's sister, somebody's daughter. You ask a man to identify himself, he'll tell you about what he does for a living. And that's nice until you don't do that anymore. And if you don't have a reason to get up in the morning, a lot of times the body will say, well, I guess there is no reason to get up in the morning. So having engagement, having a purpose in life is important. Second one on the list is to make family and friends a high priority. When you look at long-lived, healthy populations around the country, they tend not to put people away in nursing homes when they get old. You see three-generation families, four-generation families. They stay together. And we know that children do better if grandparents are involved in their life. That's just a fact. And so it's good for you to be part of a bigger network. You know, when we look at people that live a long, healthy life, you don't see many Lone Rangers out there, not many islands of isolation. They're all part of a bigger community, whether it's their church or their local community club or whatever family. That seems to be an important aspect. We were designed for relationships, and that seems to be important. So number three on the list is making sure that you get physical activity in your life, and you don't have to jog, you don't have to run a marathon, but you do need to get some physical activity. And the bottom line today is this: if you will do a brisk walk, I mean, your arms are swinging and you're moving right down the road, that takes about 150 minutes a week, not a day, a week, 150 minutes of that as a minimum, as a goal. That's not undoable. Most people have 150 minutes a week to do that. If you're willing to do something more intense, like jogging or a stationary bicycle or a treadmill or something, it takes about 75 minutes per week. And not, again, not per day, per week. To meet your minimal goals. That's doable for a lot of people. I think a lot of people think they got to become these Olympic athletes for it to count, and that's not true. If you'll do those minimums, 150 minutes a week for kind of a easygoing kind of exercise or 75 minutes a week of a little bit more intense exercise, you are ahead of 90% of America just by doing that. So that's number three on the list. Number four is maintaining a healthy weight. Easier said than done. When I graduated from college about 30 years ago, one out of four Americans was overweight, 25%. Neil, today it's 70%. 70% of America is struggling with their waistline. And when I was little, and a lot of people listening, you probably remember in school there was usually a chubby kid in school. There was a chubby kid in school. Today, one-third of the school is chubby. One-third of kids are overweight in this country. So we are heading in the wrong direction. Most Americans, I think, would agree that overweight American adults today did not start as overweight kids. They were normal weight kids. What does it mean if a third of the kids already are overweight? What's the next generation going to look like when they grow up into adulthood? So I think we're heading in the wrong direction. You know, it's getting so bad, Neil, you probably heard this. Some airlines, if you're too big, some airlines will actually charge you for two seats. Have you heard about that?
Yes, I understand that.
The problem is they're not next to each other. So it's a problem wherever you go. So number five on our list is, as we said before, start eating more plant-based foods. We talked about that a little bit already. Number six, eat more nuts. People that live long, healthy lives seem to have nuts in their diet. A study was done with women, and they found that those that ate nuts four times or more a week were about half as likely to die from heart disease than those women who ate none at all. That's not asking too much. I mean, you know what? I think cashews are close to the perfect tasting food, if you ask me. They are really good. And pecans. I put pecans on every salad that I eat. I have pecans here in the refrigerator. Peanuts are the best protein source of nuts out there. So I don't think that's as – they're kind of God's snack food. That's what nuts are. Instead of potato chips or Doritos, why don't you go with the one that made the food in the first place and go with his snack food. Number seven on the list is to learn to handle stress. Easier said than done again. But you know what? A lot of stress is perception. It's not what happens to you. It's your response to what happens to you that makes the difference. You know, the same event happening to two different people. One, it's very stressful. One, it's not. I'm a professional speaker. That's what I do for a living. Been doing that for about 30 years. And I did a program in front of 8,000 people recently in Anaheim, 8,000 people in the audience. Now, for some people listening, they'd rather die than do that. And it might even kill them if they tried to do it. But that's what I do for a living. On the other hand, there's people listening right now that do things that I would be incredibly anxious about, and they do it every day as part of their routine job, for example. So it's your perception, it's your response to the effects of your life, not just what happens to you, that makes it important. And the bottom line on that is, so if it's not the event, but it's your response, you can probably do something about your response. So number eight on our list is realize that there's a spiritual dimension to life. You know, when you realize that life does not revolve around you, that the purpose of everything is not about you and your priorities, when you get a bigger, broader worldview that says this world, this universe doesn't revolve around you, it helps put things in perspective. If you have a faith that says that, you know what, God's in control ultimately, it helps you sleep a little bit better at night, and people that have a spiritual life tend to be healthier in general. Number nine is to stop blaming your parents, because it's not all about genetics. We've done studies on twins. We know that twins live different lifespans. You'd think if it was genetic, twins would live about the same length of life, but they live significantly different lengths of life, identical twins with the same genetics. And why is that? Because lifestyle can trump genetics to a degree if you do it right. And, of course, that's what we're talking about today. And then number 10 is the big one, and that is you got to beat the two big killers. And the two big killers that kill most Americans, number one is cardiovascular disease, heart attacks and strokes. And number two is cancer, and that accounts for 70% of all deaths in this country. So even though you do all these other nine, you got to still beat the two big killers, heart disease and cancer. And that's a topic of an entirely different show.
Well, we will jump in, do some more detail on these 10 bonus years, the longevity recipe, as David Mainz has spelled it out for us. 10 bonus years is the book we're talking about, how you can add 10 healthy years to your life. From David Mainz. David, for about 30 years, I think, has been encouraging and promoting health and fitness and good nutrition. He's America's personal health improvement expert, speaks internationally to audiences to live life to the fullest with maximum energy and health. He has a master's degree in human nutrition, a registered dietitian, a fellow in the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, and he's a certified speaking professional. David Mainz, MEINZ.com is the website, and we'll talk more with David in just a moment. You can join the conversation at 877-93-FAITH. If you want to add 10 bonus years to your life, 10 healthy years to your life, you'd do it, wouldn't you? If you had that opportunity. Getting some wise advice today from David Mainz. David is America's personal health humorist, a fellow in the American Dietetic Association and registered dietitian and a speaker and author. He's written books like Eating by the Book, What the Bible Says About Food, Fat, Fitness, and Faith, and talking about 10 bonus years today. David, in that book, you say you state you want to die young. Maybe you want to explain that to us.
Yeah, the goal, Neil, is to die young as late as possible. And I think a lot of people die old pretty early. And so what we want to do is we want to maximize everything we can, again, to meet your genetic potential. We can't do too much yet about changing genetics, and I reemphasize the word yet. If people are listening and they can hang around for another decade or two, we might actually be able to manipulate gene expression so that we can actually change the potential that your genetics will allow. See, genetics affects us because it affects how your body responds to infections. It affects how much of an organ is necessary to function. And that is what really limits a person's lifestyle, because if they get sick and the body doesn't have the reserves to fix it well, then that can terminate the life. But if we can extend that is to say, not get more years, but decrease the amount of old years. And that's what the research is really looking at, is working on the aging process itself, not making 150-year-olds, but making 90-year-olds look like 70-year-olds. That's where the excitement is, and that's what we want to do. And to tap into that research when it comes out in the next 10, 20 years, well, that means you got to apply these 10 that are up to you right now. And so that's the point. There's a lot that can happen that's up to the individual, and I would encourage people to do that.
Living a full life, somehow I guess we assume that, well, by the time we're 90, it's going to be that we're going to have a lot of ailments, and maybe we're in some assisted living someplace, but that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. We've got all sorts of studies suggesting otherwise.
Well, and again, that's to a degree, if you get to be 90 and you're sick, and nobody wants that. Nobody wants to end up in a nursing home with tubes up your nose. But it's not always the case. But in a lot of cases, some of that poor quality of life is self-induced. Not that people did it on purpose. But, what does the Bible say? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and so lack of wisdom. So that's what we're talking about here today, is what is some of that knowledge? What is some of that wisdom that we can apply so that you can die young very late in life?
Talking 10 bonus years, how you can add 10 healthy years to your life. David Mintz has been a guest with us in the past, and he speaks internationally about living life to the fullest. We've got just a minute or so before we go to break. I know one of the things that you do is you work with businesses and organizations to help improve productivity, and maybe just say a word about how productivity is, we're actually losing a lot of money corporately, aren't we, because we're not as healthy as we could be.
Well, that's right. And so business or organization association will have me come in, and I might do a keynote for them or a breakout session or something like that to show their employees that their personal health decisions affects not only their personal life but their professional performance on the job too. Primarily, we know that healthier people obviously have less absenteeism, and absenteeism affects the bottom line for every company in this country. And so companies are willing to invest in experts like me to come in and help them show their people how they can improve their health. Everybody wins. The employee is healthier. They have a better personal life. They also are more productive for their employer, too.
We're talking 10 bonus years with David Mintz. The book is available at his website, davidmintz.com. That's MEINZ.com. We've got a copy we're going to give away at the end of the hour, and love to have you sign up for that. It's a great little resource. We'll talk more about it in the other half of the show here. But sign up with a phone call. Give us your contact information. We'll put you in the drawing for 10 bonus years from David Mintz. 877-933-2484. That's the phone number. 877-933-2484. David Mintz is America's personal health humorist. He specializes in consulting and workshops, enable people to improve their health. He has a degree in human nutrition, a registered dietitian, a fellow in the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. He's also a certified speaking professional, and he's an author joining us today on Connecting Faith. You can sign up for the book and give us a call at 877-93-FAITH.
Everything comes alive. Everything comes alive. Everything comes alive.
We could add 10 healthy years to our life if we practice a few simple principles. There's a longevity recipe spelled out in this great new little resource from David Mintz called 10 Bonus Years. A copy is available through his website, davidmintz.com, MEINZ.com. David has written a number of books, including Eating by the Book, What the Bible Says About Food, Fat, Fitness, and Faith. Also, Wealthy, Healthy, and Wise, How to Make Sure Your Money and Your Health Last as Long as You Do. We've been talking about health and fitness and good nutrition, some of those things. And David, one of the things you address in the book is You know, some people think, well, it's just about lower calories, so I should do a lower calorie diet. Because I guess, you know, Americans, we probably do overeat some. So is that a good idea, and what does that look like?
Yes, it is a good idea. Now, it needs to work with your lifestyle, though. So, you know, anybody can lose weight if you decrease calories and increase physical activity. That, frankly, is how it works. There are very rare instances when people have a glandular problem. You know, people say, oh, it's my glands. Well, it's your plate is what it is, and how much you're eating and your lack of physical activity. So for most people, if you will decrease calorie intake and get physical activity, more physical activity in your life, you will see the waistline go down. But it has to fit in your lifestyle. You know, I saw something come across my desk just today in the New York Times. They did a follow-up of the Biggest Losers on the television show, The Biggest Loser. And these people are putting all the weight back on. You know why? Because they didn't change their lifestyle. They didn't change what got them big in the first place. So short-term weight loss, I am not impressed. I don't care if it's 100 pounds. Tell me where you are 5 years from now. And we have research that looks at people who keep weight off for a long time, and they consistently are eating less calories and putting physical activity in your lifestyle. How do you eat less calories? I mean, the idea of just eating salads the rest of your life is not very appealing. But if you will eat less sugar and less fat, don't have to go complete, you don't have to get rid of it, but there's more calories in fat than anything else on your plate, butter, margarine, mayonnaise, sour cream, deep fried foods. If you'll eat less of those and less sweets, less sugar, don't have to get rid of them, but eat less of those, your calories will go down for the day. But the nice thing about eating more plant-based foods, foods closer to the way God grows them, is that many of them have volume to them. And I'll give you an example, Neil. I am not a big fan of juicing. I am a big fan of eating fruit because fruit is closer to the way it grows. So think about this. If any of your listeners have ever made fresh-squeezed orange juice, it takes a lot of oranges to make a good-sized glass of orange juice, you know, like 5 oranges or so. Well, people say, look at all that vitamin C I'm getting. Well, what they don't realize is your body can only absorb the vitamin C from 2 oranges, about 200 milligrams. After that, you urinate it out. You're not going to store vitamin C. But what your body can use from all those oranges is all that sugar. And there goes all the sugar from 5 oranges. But if you will eat it closer to the way it grows, an orange, it's got fiber in it. And the fiber will control the amount of calories and sugar that you're taking in. People say, you know, well, I would never eat 5 or 6 oranges. Yeah, but you'll drink 5 or 6 oranges. So calories, decreased calories does work. But what I'm encouraging people is you won't feel deprived as you decrease your calories if you will eat food closer to the way God grows it.
So don't all carbs turn into sugar? So should we eliminate breads and pastas, those things as well?
So carbs are supposed to turn into sugar, Neil. That's how they're designed. That's what they're supposed to do. And people think, oh, that's terrible. You know, those carbs turn right into sugar. Well, they're designed to turn into something called blood sugar, glucose. And what I tell my audience is this. You know, if you're in a hospital and you can't eat, you're in a coma, they don't put fat in your veins, do they? They don't put protein in your arteries. What do? They put sugar in your arteries because that's the currency that you are designed to run on. To lift your legs, to think, all these things takes blood sugar, and it's wrong to think that blood sugar is a bad thing. It only becomes a bad thing if you can't get into the cells. We call that diabetes. That's a different issue. But blood sugar going through your body right now is what you're running on, not so much fat or protein, but blood sugar. And when a potato turns into blood sugar, that's a good thing. However, a potato chip brings a heavy fat price tag, and you don't get as much food when it's a potato chip as opposed to as when it's a baked potato. So again, closer to the way it grows, carbs do turn into sugar. They're supposed to turn into sugar.
Mm. Well, you mentioned fat. We know about what do we need to know about cholesterol? Let's you talk about that in 10 bonus years. Say more about cholesterol.
Well, we now know, and we've known this for some time, it's just that the media has finally kind of been picking up on the message that food cholesterol, like an egg yolk, does not make your blood cholesterol go up very much. That's the news to a lot of people. They still think, well, if I want to control my blood cholesterol, I better not eat many egg yolks because that's got a lot of cholesterol in it. What we now know is, though, we've known it for some time, is there's something in your food that makes your blood cholesterol go up far more than cholesterol in food does, and it's the fat that comes from animals. That makes your blood cholesterol go up far more, and we call that saturated fat. So what would that mean? That would mean things like the visible fat on a steak, that's saturated fat. Cheese, that's saturated fat in most cases. Whole milk, not skim milk, not 1% milk, but whole milk's got a lot of animal fat in it. Those fats make your blood cholesterol go up far more than food cholesterol like an egg yolk does. What does that mean about eggs? It means most people can handle a couple of eggs every day without any problem for their heart risk. It doesn't really hurt them at all, and eggs can be a good source of a lot of nutrients, including protein. Some people can't, but most people can handle eggs in moderation a couple a day without any problem. Now, the problem with eggs, however, is when you go to a restaurant, it's often accompanied by bacon and biscuits and gravy. And now you're talking saturated fat. So eggs don't deserve all the bad reputation that they've had.
And is there anything that you'd like to say good about bacon? Because we do really love bacon, you know.
I'd say read my book, Eating by the Book,
okay.
Neil.
Okay. All right, shucks. I was hoping for a little bacon reprieve there, but maybe not have it. We did touch on, one of the top 10 on your list of longevity recipe about eating nuts. And maybe just as long as we're talking cholesterol and issues like fat, it's amazing that nuts really, even though they have a higher fat content, somehow it doesn't seem like it affects our body the same way, right?
Right, because again, see, that's not an animal fat. That's a plant fat, and that's the difference. Animal fats, saturated fats, kind of make a beeline for your heart arteries, and they don't do you much good. Plant fats still have calories, that's true, and you can certainly become overweight if you eat a pound of nuts every day, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a handful of nuts every day. Those have a fat called unsaturated fat, and that kind of fat doesn't seem to be bad for your cardiovascular system, heart or stroke or any of those things, doesn't hurt and might even help. Some studies have shown that nuts can actually increase the good cholesterol, the HDL cholesterol, and lower the bad LDL cholesterol. So they're just pretty good for you, and again, because they have some of that healthy fat, fat tends to satisfy your appetite a little bit more. Carbs are good for you if they're close to the way they grow. But if, for example, at breakfast time, if you just have cereal, those carbs will digest pretty fast. But what I like to do is I like to have some peanut butter in the morning with my breakfast on some toast. That healthy fat tends to fill you up, satisfy you a little bit more than just a breakfast made of cereal. And it slows down the blood sugar rise that you get from carbs. So nuts, peanut butter, almond butter, those kinds of things. The news is looking quite good that they're part of a healthy diet.
Should we be weighing ourselves every day, or is using a tape measure a better way to kind of gauge our fitness?
Yeah, I think a tape measure is the way to go. I don't have much use for a bathroom scale. The people that do keep weight off long term, the research shows, do weigh themselves about once a week. That way they're not surprised, and that way the scale doesn't jump 10 pounds because they weren't paying attention. So about once a week. But this obsessive measuring every day on the scale, a lot of people worship the bathroom scale. They find out what kind of day they're going to have first thing in the morning based on what the scale says. So I would tend to tell people to back away from that attitude. And a lot of your female listeners know that water weight can differ quite a bit in a woman's body based on what time of the month it is or what she's eaten. As far as that's concerned, a man can be eating something that's got a lot of salt in it, and his weight can go up tremendously the next day. Well, that's not fat weight. That's water retention is what it is, and that'll go away. So I don't like weighing every day, once a week if you need to, but now the research is showing that tape measure is even more predictive of your future health, because we know that gut fat is very dangerous fat. If you think about it, somebody listening, if you're a lady and you've been on a weight loss program with the man in your life, he tends to have an easier time losing weight than the woman does. And that's because of where he's getting his calories. Gut fat is metabolically active tissue. It's going in and out of the bloodstream all the time. That's good if you're trying to lose weight because he can pull those calories quite easy. Women tend to store fat on their hips. They don't like the way it looks, but it's metabolically less active. That means it's harder for her to pull those calories if she's trying to lose weight. But it also means it's less dangerous, too, because that fat kind of likes it back there, and it just stays back there. A man's gut fat is raising his bad cholesterol, is increasing risk for other kinds of problems throughout his life, and that gut fat is more dangerous than hip fat. So 10 pounds on your gut is more dangerous than 10 pounds on your hips, even though women may not like the way it looks.
And is
so if we can measure that with a tape measure, and if we know that your waist size is going up, then we know that that's a predictor of future health problems.
So again, if we're in that 150 minutes a week of just some good fast-paced walking, something like that, that's going to be significant in addressing that gut fat, right?
It's a good start.
Okay.
It's been my experience, though, that if you have significant weight to lose, it probably takes more than a brisk walk.
Yeah, okay. Well, I was was hoping for a better answer there too, David, but
Well, Neil, you got to tell me what answers you want
ahead
of time.
I guess that was we didn't really work through all of it like we should have before the show. We're going to take a break and come back and talk more with David Mines. So we're talking 10 bonus years, how you can add 10 healthy years to your life. Written by David Mines. David's America's personal health improvement expert. And you've perhaps heard him on past programs like Focus on the Family. He speaks internationally. He's a registered dietitian, has a master's degree in human nutrition. He's also a certified speaking professional and has written a number of books, including Eating by the Book and 10 Bonus Years. We've got a copy of 10 Bonus Years to give away. We'll do that at the top of the hour. You can sign up for that at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. I've got a couple of questions that have come in, one about vitamin supplements. Someone else wants to know about peanut butters and hydrogenated fats, and we'll get to that and more. And we'll talk about maybe how we can encourage one another in terms of accountability. Also going to find out what it means to eat like an Italian. All that coming up in a moment with David Mines.
Leo.
You don't have to be a marathon runner or eat tofu or bean sprouts to add 10 bonus years to your life, how you can add 10 healthy years to your life. That's the book from David Mines we're referencing today. And he's got the longevity recipe, which we touched on earlier in the show. In case you missed it, you'll want to go back after the show. We post our interviews online at myfaithradio.com on our Connecting Faith show page. Or you can go to davidmines.com. That's MEINZ.com. And order a copy of 10 Bonus Years for yourself. A couple of questions I want to get to. April said asked about this. Most peanut butters have hydrogenated fats in them and as some margarine. So is that a good thing? Do we just need to avoid those peanut butters?
Well, it's becoming less and less of a problem. And I think it's two more years or so. It's been mandated by the federal government that there won't be any more trans fats used in the American food supply. So we're heading in the right direction. They're going to finally get rid of all that stuff. But right now, some do, and they are the more creamier kind of peanut butters. What I buy is the natural peanut butter that has the oil on top. Now, here's what I do. This is important. When you open that jar up with the oil on top, don't mix that in like most people do. Take a knife, dip that jar of peanut butter so that the oil comes out. I've calculated this. You know what? You save about 700 calories if you will just drain that oil off the top. 700 fat calories that it's not going to go into your body just by doing that. Now, I'll tell you this. there's enough fat in the peanut butter still, even after you drain that off, that if you now stir it up with a knife, that peanut butter will spread just fine and be perfectly good tasting. And since it's natural, they didn't use any of those hydrogenated fats in that oil, that in the peanut butter that has the oil on top. That's the way I do it. That's what I recommend.
Okay. Let's take respond to John's question. He said, what about vitamins or to supplement some of our lack? Is that a good or bad habit?
Yeah, I think that's good, too. I kind of changed my mind on vitamin supplementation. I didn't think it was really necessary until I saw how Americans are eating. And for either lack of will or busy schedules like I've got or whatever, we don't always get what we need from a nutritional standpoint. So I'm going to recommend a couple things. I'm going to recommend a multiple vitamin. And now the research, if you've been listening to the media lately, they'll tell you that the multiples really don't do much in terms of decreasing your cancer risk or your heart disease risk. And I can live with that because there's other things we can do to decrease your risk of those problems. But what a multiple can do is give you kind of a foundation to make up for this hectic lifestyle that most of us live. So I like a multiple, but it needs to be based on who you are. I don't like something that's made for everybody. I like a Centrum Silver. I like a one a day for men. I like it to be aimed at who you are and where you are in life. Because, for example, after about age 50 or 60, you decrease your ability to absorb vitamin B12. Well, so somebody that's 60 needs more B12. That would be in a silver formula, but it would not be in a regular multiple vitamin that you take every day that's designed for the general population. So a multiple based on who you are and where you are in life is one. Calcium would be the next one. Vitamin D would be the third one. And the omega-3s, the fish oils. I take those four. Those are the supplements I think are a good investment of your money. And, of course, it's always on the foundation of the very best diet, quality diet that somebody can eat. You can't make up for poor decisions in your health with a pill, but a pill might fill in some of those gaps.
Well, speaking of eating well, you suggest maybe we need to eat like an Italian. What does that mean?
So if you look at in my book, I talk about we have some longevity celebrities in the United States, and they live out in California in a place called Loma Linda, California. They're the Adventists. This is a Christian group that goes to church on Saturday instead of Sunday, and they live about a decade longer than everybody else in this country. So we've really been researching them, seeing what it is that they do differently. Well, it turns out they handle stress by resting one day a week. They eat a more plant-based diet. They get physical activity. They make family and friends a high priority. Does this list sound familiar to you, Neil?
It does.
These folks are doing it right, and I would just wonder if the rest of the church out there might learn a lesson or two from them. We can have our differences theologically, but, boy, the proof is in the pudding in terms of what they're doing, quality of life and longer life. And so that they often tend to be vegetarian, however. That's too much for a lot of people listening right now. On the other hand, you can't eat like an American anymore because Americans are dying at a huge rate from things that are preventable, heart disease and cancer. So wouldn't it be nice if there was some kind of a middle ground between the Adventist and the American diet? And I think it's the Italian diet. We refer to it as the Mediterranean diet. A lot of people have heard about that. And I think it's a good compromise. You don't have to be a vegetarian, but you got to do better than the average American. And so this is all based on research that was done about 50 years ago in the Mediterranean part of the world, in the island of Crete off of Italy and in Greece and some of those places. And they found that it wasn't necessarily, surprisingly, a low-fat diet. They were getting 30 to 40% of their calories from fat and having really good health as a result of that, but it wasn't animal fat. It was primarily olive oil as the source of fat. They also eat whole grain breads. They get a lot of food, beans, fresh fruit and vegetables, a lot of dark leafy greens, spinach and mustard greens and so forth. And sugar and a lot of dairy foods are pretty rare in that Mediterranean healthy diet. Sometimes they'll use cheese as a condiment, but not a slab of cheese. They eat a little fish, some chicken a couple times a week, and red meat is only consumed several times a month. So the nice thing about the Mediterranean diet is a lot of the foods that Americans already eat is in the Mediterranean diet. It's not like turning your life upside down, but it's probably a good healthy compromise that's doable for most people.
I mentioned olive oil. You know, there's a lot of emphasis on what coconut oil today are. Is olive oil a significant improvement if we're using some other kind of oil?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not convinced about coconut oil yet. Coconut oil is a unique kind of a fat. It's what we call a short-chain fatty acid. It's different than most fats. And the question is that clinically significant? In other words, is that going to make a difference actually in day-to-day life? And I think that jury is still out. The excitement about coconut oil is premature, in my opinion. It may turn out to be true, but they're making all kinds of claims out there about coconut oil. It does not help you lose weight. I'm sorry. It just doesn't. And it's got claims now about heart disease and cancer and Alzheimer's and everything. And I'm not on the coconut oil bandwagon yet. I might get on, but I need to see more proof. A lot of people, I think, have been premature in their excitement about coconut oil. And so I'm going to wait and see. But I've got an alternative, and we've got a couple of thousand of years of experience in olive oil. And we've got the research now about the Mediterranean diet, and they're not using coconut oil. They're using olive oil.
You know, the church has been around for a long time and not always necessarily doing a good job in physical health. How would you say are we doing any better in addressing physical health today across the church? And if not, what would you recommend?
I don't think so. I'm going to wag my finger at the church just a little bit, Neil. I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to do that. You know, in church, you always hear about spiritual health. And of course, that is the most important thing. Yes. But we've got to live somewhere until we get these new bodies the body talks about. And as I go around the country speaking to churches and various things, I will tell you that the secular world responds better to my message than the church world does, and that's too bad. You know, I've asked pastors when they have a call, an altar call, for various reasons. I say, what percentage, I know some is for salvation, of course, and then some is for family issues and financial issues, and people want prayer for health issues. I said, what's the mix? And most pastors tell me it's over half on health issues. And yet, I wonder how many of those pastors have ever preached a message on the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I can tell the answer to that, and it's pretty minimal. And that's too bad. Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God has given us a mind, and he's revealed things. I don't worship science, but science is a tool by God to tell us things. And we know a lot about how to take care of this body that is fearfully and wonderfully made. And I never hear that message preached from the front of the church.
If you could, just a couple minutes left, if you could get us to change one thing to reduce our risk of heart disease or cancer, what would that be?
Well, this is a little peripheral issue, but I think it can be argued that it's related to those two problems one way or the other, and that is that we drink too much sugared, colored, bubbled, drugged water, and we call that soda. And it's also called liquid candy. You know, adults graduate from candy bars and lollipops, and they graduate to adult candy, which is soda. And taking in, you know, a 20-ounce plastic bottle of soda now, which is what many people think is a serving, 20 ounces, that has around 16 teaspoons of sugar in it. And nobody would ever sit down and mix 16 teaspoons of sugar in 20 ounces of water, but they certainly drink that, one or two of those a day. Do you know that the average American family spends over $700 a year on soda? Now, I don't hardly drink any. That means somebody's drinking my $700 worth, and that's a lot of money, and yet people complain to me that blueberries are too expensive to buy.
You know, it's hard to argue with that. We have much more we could learn and discuss, but I want to encourage you to go to David's website, davidminds.com, M-E-I-N-D-S, KNZ.com. You can find a copy of 10 Bonus Years there and other wonderful resources, and maybe arrange to have David come speak to your church or group or your work. David does that so well. He has a degree in human nutrition, a registered dietitian, a fellow in the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, also a certified speaking professional designated from the National Speakers Association. Honored to have him with us today here in Connecting Faith. David, blessings to you. Good to have the conversation, and thanks for helping us keep healthy.
Thank you, Neil.
David Mines joining us today. The book we've been referencing called 10 Bonus Years. If you missed part of it, check out the podcast online at the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com.